you brought your Bible tonight. You know, we have on the sign, revival, revival, revival. Say how many brought your King James Bible tonight. Amen and amen. Good for you. All right. Then let's just turn anywhere in it and try to look intelligent wherever you are. But I'm thinking about Jonah. I'm not preaching on Jonah tonight, but I'm thinking about Jonah. And I think we can say that Jonah was in over his head. Amen? He was in over his head. He was in where you couldn't wade in the wading pool. He was in the deep water. And to make matters worse, he got swallowed up by a whale. You say, I thought it was a big fish. Well, God says a whale is a big fish. So I'm going to believe God rather than the biologist. Even though it's classified as a mammal, God said it's a fish. So I'll take God on that. So it was a big fish called a whale. And that's not a whale of a tail. And Jonah was swallowed up by that whale, and he was over his head. He despaired of life. I'm thinking of another guy in the Mediterranean Sea tonight. His name was Paul. And he was not out on a pleasure cruise. How many of you have ever been on a cruise, a pleasure cruise? I've been on one. I'll admit it. I've been on a pleasure cruise. And I've been on two of them already. And in my very short, brief little time, I've been on two of them. But I want to tell you that this was not a pleasure cruise. And I want to tell you something else. Life is not a pleasure cruise. Amen? And so Paul got into a situation where he was in a cyclone. It was called a Euroclidin. I got to say that right. A Euroclidin. You've heard about that in the book of Acts. And they had to just let the ship drive. I mean, they could not control it. And they strake sail and just let her drive. And they threw everything overboard. Listen, that is how we get sometime. We are realizing that we are over our heads. I don't know if you've had times in your life, but I've had times in my life when I was over my head, when I couldn't swim, when I couldn't control the wind and the waves. I was being driven and tossed, and I had no human hope of surviving it. Have you ever been there? Paul was there in Ephesus. He said he despaired even of life. He said in Ephesus. He said that to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I despair. How many of you have ever been in those kind of things where you're over your head? Amen. Some of you have not been, and I hate to tell you tonight, but you will be. Sooner or later, you will be over your head. You will be overwhelmed. And so I'm just saying that the pastor is the angel of the church, which means the messenger. He carries the message. And you notice I've been preaching on 2 Peter, but I'm off tonight. I'm off that. I'm doing something else tonight. And I believe, listen to me, I believe God will put the pastor through things in his life to help you. The pastor will lead, I mean, excuse me, God will lead the pastor through things ahead of you to help you to prepare for what you may be going through. And what I'm talking about is being over your head. And my wife, we were in the, this past week, many of you know my wife, I took her to the emergency. And what a precious lady. My wife is a brave lady. I've seen her go through labor after labor. She never cried. She would not cry in labor. She wouldn't let out a groan or a moan. I mean, a groan or a moan, but not a cry in labor, you know. And I saw my wife cry. She cried. And that broke my heart. And she's in such pain. And it was going from her back all the way down her leg and back up like worse than labor contractions and like you would have some kind of a contortion. And so we got her some medication, pain meds and so forth from that. And I just felt led to send her to my oldest daughter in Florida. And she was going to go down there anyway for her sister's memorial funeral service. And when she's down there, The doctor said it sounds, he's a doctor of integrated medicine and chiropractic services. He said that what she has, and he's a believer and he's been through a lot. He said what it sounds like she has is an acute, not acute, but an acute herniated disc. And that didn't sound good to me. That didn't sound good to me. And she is not able to get up out of bed herself. She has to be walked to the bathroom. Just excruciating pain. And that's how she was before she left when she was with me. And it is so hard for me to see her suffering. And I talked to her today on the phone, and she's such a sweetheart. And to see her suffering, it's just so hard to see that, and it attacks. Of course, it attacks us when we see someone we love that suffers and is suffering, and it's very difficult for me, and because of what she's going through, and there are many counselors when you're going through those times of hardship. You know, Job had his counselors, amen? And we always have counselors. But let me tell you, it's the counsel of the Lord that we need when you're in over your head. If you're in over your head, you need something from God. You need the words of God. That's all that's really going to help you. And I think of Ruben Rodriguez, 22 years old, and came down with influenza. And then got sepsis and so forth and so on in the hospital through infection, no doubt, right, Awilda, I would say. And then that spread and shut down his body systems. And Ruben Rodriguez, young man in good shape, now passed away. And that's got to be hard. And you need God's comfort during those times. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, comfort one another with these words. When you're in over your head, you need comfort from God. I've been in over my head, and I've had a few people that comforted me during those times, during that time. Brother Bruce is here tonight. Brother Bruce, God used you to comfort me and some others that comforted me during those times with words from God, words from God. And that's a blessing. And I want to say, you've got to realize that people that are in over their head are drowning. Amen? They're drowning. You know, when you try to rescue a drowning person, what can happen? They can pull you down with them. They can pull you down with them if you're not careful. And so you've got to choose your words carefully. And when you're rescuing a drowning person, it says, go down, dive down, get behind them, grab them from behind so that they don't pull you down. And then you can drag them in. You know, you can swim them in. But you got to know how to approach them, how to grab them, and bring them in. You got to grab them with the Word of God. And that's what I would like to do tonight. I want to preach to you tonight, and maybe you're in over your head right now like I am. Maybe you will be in over your head. You have been in over your head. But I'm just saying that this is a message God, I believe, is leading me to give to you tonight. How to overcome when you are in over your head. How to overcome. You know, God calls us to be overcomers, right? He doesn't ever say to you, I want you to cope with your situation. He never says that. That's not the God we serve. We serve the God of resurrection. And the world is coping. How is the world coping? Well, they're on all kind of drugs. They're on all kind of things. They're just trying to cope with their life. Or they just get drunk every day and get drunk and cope with life. Or take marijuana, smoke those blunts. And, you know, that smells gross. And smoke those blunts. And listen, that is to cope. But God didn't call you to cope. God called you to conquer. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Through Jesus, we're more than conquerors, it says, through Him that loved us. And you can conquer. You can conquer when you are in over your head. And it's how to conquer, how to overcome. Nikao when you are over your head. I want to say four things tonight, how you can conquer when you're in over your head. Please turn to James chapter 1, and I want to look at this very familiar scripture, but I hope you'll see something perhaps you didn't understand or see or that you can use. Four things how to conquer when you're in over your head or how to overcome. Number one, put it in the asset column rather than the liability column in your life. Let's read 1:1 of James. He says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And you know, James is writing in the very early church. He probably wrote this around 38 AD. I believe it's the apostle, not James, the brother of our Lord. I believe he wrote before the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, where the brother of our Lord was the senior pastor. I believe it was the apostle James. He was one of the three, Peter, James, and John. And this was a great man of God that was pushed off the temple and killed, martyred, James, the apostle. And he's telling you how to overcome, and he's saying here that these people were scattered. In other words, there was some kind of persecution, and they were scattered abroad. By the way, during the Great Tribulation, there will be Jews in Israel scattered because they're believers. And they'll be persecuted by the Jewish Antichrist and by the beast. And they'll have to go from one city to the next just to survive. They won't be able to stay in their home. And so he's writing in that situation. And he's talking about not being overcome, but being a conqueror. Look at verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. You know, getting hit one side and getting hit the next side until you get hit so much that you're overwhelmed and you can't handle it in your own mind. You can't handle it with your own resources. You are in over your head. And I just want to say, when you're in over your head, James says, don't panic. Don't panic. The tendency when we get in over our head is to panic, especially if you can't swim. How many are not good swimmers? You're not good swimmers. Okay, then you don't want to be in over your head, or you're gonna panic. And they were in over their head. They lost their homes. They lost their jobs. They didn't know how they were going to survive in themselves. They had no human answer. But James says, now wait a minute. When you're in that situation of being in over your head, count it all joy. Notice the word count. 1, 2, 3. In other words, put that problem and problems that you're going through that overwhelm you, put that in the asset column of the ledger of your life. Mark it as an asset. And if you're going over your income and going over your expenses, you want to have more income than you do expenses. Amen? How many of you have too much month at the end of your paycheck? That's not good. Too much month at the end of your paycheck. No, you want to have your paycheck have extra at the end of the month. You want to have savings. You want to have it in the asset column of your life. And this word is that kind of word. It's a word for accounting. Count, you know. I took accounting in high school. Miss Kuzma, I believe. Yeah, that was my teacher for accounting. We drove her crazy. But accounting, and you put that in the asset column of your life. You say, well, I get happy when I get an asset. Somebody gives you a gift, $500, you put that as, you're happy. You don't feel too happy when you hear your wife may have a herniated disc and she's in horrible pain. You don't feel too happy then. But God says, I don't care how you feel. Now, he does care, but he says, listen to me, you need to write that down as an asset. You say, wow, how do you do that? Well, you don't panic. You do what God says, and you write that down as an asset. I think of our first pastor, Charles Ware. We got married almost the same time. We lived as neighbors and in this ministry. My wife was a great friend of Sharon Ware, and Sharon Ware was a great friend of my wife. Pastor Ware had a great wife. I mean, she was top notch, an amazing woman, I'm just like my wife is an amazing woman. She was an amazing woman. And I remember that all those years he had that wonderful asset. And then there came a day when she had a rare brain disease, and Sharon actually lost the ability to read. Brilliant lady in school, all A's. She couldn't read. He had to help her read. He had to help her order from the menu. I went out with her. She still had those eyes, and she looked at me and said, "Randy, how's the church doing?" She was still Sharon in there, but she had lost those abilities because of her brain, and it was very tough. And finally, Sharon passed away right around Christmas time, just a few years ago. And what a terrible thing that was in Charlie's life. But yet God says, even when you go through that, listen to me, you put that in the asset column. You don't panic. You put that in the asset column, and God will bless you, and God will take care of you. I think of our pastor, Charles Ware, again. When he and Sharon had their kids, and they adopted Matt, and they had a big family. And I remember hearing about Matt playing basketball. He was an awesome basketball player. Not a tall kid. He was very short, unlike Charlie Ware and Sharon. But what a basketball. He was a shooting guard. He was a tremendous star basketball player in high school. And Matt was playing basketball, and he went and got the ball and dove, and his back hit the side of the gym, and his spinal cord was severed. And Matt is still paralyzed in his life. And God says, you need to put that in the asset column. You do not panic, but put that in the asset column. Count it all joy. Account it all joy. You don't feel like it's joyful, but God is working out his purpose. I don't have time to testify to you, but Charlie Ware could do it much better than I of how God blessed his life through what Matt went through. How God blessed his life through what Sharon, his lovely wife, went through. And I'm just saying, you might not be able to figure out, and some of it you can't even figure out this side of heaven. But listen, you are not to panic, but by faith put it in the asset column. And what's our tendency? Our tendency is when we get in over our head that we're going to panic. And by the way, when I was a young Christian, anytime I was even a little bit over my head, I would panic. And Charlie Ware used to laugh at me because he would see the look on my face when a trial came in, and I would panic. And he would say, "Oh boy, Bloom is panicking. He's panicking." And you know, that's the way I was. But I've learned by experience not to panic when you go through the difficulties and you're in over your head. Think of the children of Israel. They were in over their head at the Red Sea. They were in over their head as they looked at the giants in the Promised Land. So many times they felt like they were in over their head in the wilderness. When they came into the wilderness, they had no water, no way to get water. They were in over their head. And what did they do? They panicked. And what did they do? When you panic and you worry, what do? You complain, don't you? And you criticize people. You criticize people and you blame them because they're all right. There's somebody you can blame, you know, and we do that. Listen, don't do that. Don't do what you tend to do by nature. Do what God wants you to do and overcome when you're in over your head, and don't blame people, but look to God. So many people, as soon as trouble comes, they're pointing at one another. They're blaming each other. And we need people that look to God. And that's the rare person. Amen. That's the rare person. You look at the normal person, they don't do that. Look at the Israelites, they don't do that. And even God's people, many of them don't do that. They don't walk by faith. And so don't blame people, don't panic. Don't blame people in positions of responsibility. You say, why not? They have the power to change things. Well, if you're going to look at that, they have the power to change things, then blame God. Because God's got the ultimate power to change things. If you're going to blame a person, just go ahead and blame God. Say, God, I blame you for this. Because God could change it. God could remove it. If he chooses not to intervene and not to do it, then blame God. And God is ultimately in control. But that goes against God's counsel here, doesn't it? He doesn't say panic. He doesn't say blame people. He doesn't say blame God. What does he do? He said, put that in the asset column of your life. He said, that is a blessing. Remember the apostles when they were being beaten for their faith in Jesus. They didn't feel good about that. I don't feel good about it when I'm called to account for you guys littering in the mall up there. I don't feel good about that. But you know what? I put it right in the asset column. I put it in the asset column because God is entrusting me with trouble. He's entrusting me with pain. And he knows that's not going to break me. That's not going to break my faith. I'm going to overcome, my friends. I'm going to conquer. He knows that. I'm going to do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He knows that. And the apostles, they said, we count it joy that we have the privilege not just to believe in the Lord, but to suffer for his sake. You could put it in the asset column when you actually are entrusted by God with going through some pain and some suffering in your life. My poor wife, she's going through some pain. She's going through some suffering. She said, you think God's mad at me? I said, no, God's not mad at you. You're precious. You're wonderful. He's entrusting you with some suffering because you are a wonderful testimony. And he's working out his purpose in your life. And there are people around my wife that love my wife, and they need to learn some things through her suffering about God and her faith in God. And so don't panic and don't blame others, but rather put it by faith. And I emphasize by faith in the asset column of your life. And, you know, to do that, you have to make a mental decision to rejoice in God for allowing this to happen in your life. It says, count it all joy. You don't feel joyous. You don't feel happy when these things come into your life. In fact, you feel like I resent them as enemies. And instead of resenting them as enemies, welcome them as friends. Hey, friend, come right on in. Hey, friend, come on in. Don't resent them as an enemy, but welcome them as friends in your life. And that is the counsel of God. I'm just giving you God's word. I know this is not human counsel, but it is these words that God says. And so put it in the asset column. And by faith, even though it may go against your feelings, put it in that asset column rather than looking at it as a liability. When Jonah was swallowed up by that whale, he could put that in the asset column. You say, how is that an asset in his life? Well, the whale burped him back up, amen, and put him in the right place. And by the way, how about Job? Oh, what Job was going through, and his friends were not friends at all, and they were trying to comfort him, and they were not comforting him. They were not helping him. They were not helping his faith. But Job, you see, Job could put that in the asset column of his life, because though God tests us and tries us, he knows how much we can take. And it says in the Bible, ye have heard the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You know what? When you're going through these kind of trials and you're in over your head, you might draw the conclusion, God doesn't love me. You might draw the conclusion, God doesn't care. God doesn't feel, but he does care. The Bible says, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. He can feel what you're going through, beloved. When you're in over your head, and perhaps you are, you're feeling some trial, some physical problem, some trouble in your life, and you feel like you're in over your head, it says that the Lord is very pitiful. Now, did Job feel like he was pitiful? No, he said, oh, that I could write this in a book, what I'm going through. Oh, that what I'm going through could be, and it is, it's in a book, amen. It's in a book. God never took one tear that Job shed and wasted it. He saved all his tears. Do you know the Bible says God puts your tears in a bottle? He stores up your tears. He knows them. Maybe you're going through a trial and you say, God doesn't care. No, he's very pitiful. That's a lie of Satan. That's a deception. Don't buy into that. It says right here in James chapter 5, verse 11, ye have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But he's got to wait to show you that. He's got to wait to make it all work out. But listen to me. He is pitiful. And maybe you pity people that you love. But the Lord has way more pity for them than you or I. I know Brother Eddie pities Lanika. And when he hears her tears, no doubt he pities her. And his heart breaks for his granddaughter that he led to the Lord. But you know, Brother Eddie's, that love that he has as a grandpa, that's just a little taste of God's love. How God loves. How Jesus loves. You see how he feels, how pitiful he is. And we're made in the image of God, so that's why we feel that way. Don't believe the lie that the Lord doesn't care. He says, casting all your care upon him for what? He cares for you. So I'm just saying, when you are overcome and in over your head, put that in the asset column mentally. As an accounting thing, put it in the asset column rather than a liability. Because the Bible says, and we know, not we think or we hope, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28, we can know that. You say, how can I know that? By faith. So I can put that in the asset column because God said, I am going to use this for your good. I know you can't understand it. I know you can't understand why God allowed you to get into this situation. But what are you going to do? Criticize and complain against people? What are you going to do? Attack God's character? What are you going to do? No, that's so stupid and so foolish. Don't do that and don't panic. But by faith, put that in the asset column. And you say, what God's going to do? God's going to make you much more mature as a believer. God's going to make you much more Christ-like as a believer. I remember our church years ago when we first started Scranton Revival Baptist Church, we had a bunch of baby Christians. And I remember every time we had problems that would hit our church, all those baby Christians would freak out. And they'd go running pell-mell, and they panicked, and they stampeded, you know. Do you know that you can stampede bison, buffaloes, and in the Old West, they used to hit the drums, you know, the tom-toms, and they boom, boom. And they would stampede these buffaloes, and then they'd have a guy at the bottom of a cliff. So they'd stampede them, and they'd run right over a cliff. They'd just get scared and go right, and drop down and die, and then the guy would there eat their meat, you know. He'd have all these buffaloes piled up there. And that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to stampede the church. He wants to get you to panic. He wants to get you to blame other people. He wants to get you, instead of looking to God and putting it in the asset column, that's not going to overcome. You're not going to conquer. How do you conquer? Number one, put in the asset column rather than the liability column of your life, these troubles. Number two, persevere in serving God no matter what. Look what verse 3 says. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I can remember years ago, you've heard me say this many times, Revelation 3:2. I was a young man. I was here in the church. I was helping Dr. Ware. I was his assistant. And I got the idea, you know, it's time for me now to plant a church. It's time for me to do a work for God. But you know what? This church had not even been planted yet. This church lacked, and so many things were ready to die in this church. And yet I was thinking about what I was going to do for myself and the great things I was going to do for God. And I was on my way to Grand Rapids, Michigan to meet with a head of a missionary thing to get set up to go out and plant churches. And here's what came to me with power. It said in Revelation 3:2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect or complete before God. You know what God's got a work for you to do?
That's right.
God's got a work for you to do. And people have their own selfish ambitions, what I want to do. But God's got a plan for you. And it's not by your selfish ambitions. Submit yourself to God's plan and stay with what God has for you. And that was in the early 1970s. It's now 2025, and I'm still here. Are my works more complete before God than they were in the 1970s? Oh, yes. They're much more complete than they were in the 1970s, right, Brother Joe? Much more complete. And it's so with you. The longer you stay at it, the longer you stay in God's will and get tied in with what God wants you to do, the more you're going to see God getting a hold of your life. And how are you going to do that? Well, when these troubles come that overwhelm you and would overcome you, put yourself in the hand of the potter. You know, the Bible says that he is the potter and we're the clay. And he's making us into a vessel that he can use. But listen to me, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you've got to just put yourself in the hands of the potter. Say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. You just show me. And I'm putting myself in your hands, and then you will be able to persevere in your life. I remember going through a very hard time in my life. I did not understand it. It was one of the most difficult times in my life. And the verse that kept coming back to me was from Job. You know what Job said in Job chapter, I'm not sure what chapter it's in. Who cares? In the book of Job. He said, though he, speaking of God, slay me, yet will I trust him. See, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to trust him, though it looks like he is killing us. Remember, Jesus went to the cross, and he did follow the Father to the cross, and he did die, but God raised him back from the dead. And when you're going through these things, you say, how can I persevere? Well, a journey of 1,000 miles is one step. And you know what? If I'm going to walk somewhere, like I'm walking towards Sarge, I'm looking at Sarge right now. And I'm going to take one step towards Sarge, and then another step, and then another step. Eventually, I'm going to get there. And you need to be setting your goal and have a goal in your life, but you can only do it one step at a time. You can only do it one day at a time. And so find out when you have a successful day and keep on repeating that. You just take that and that's how you persevere. You do it one step at a time. You may be overwhelmed. I don't know how I'm going to deal with all these things. God says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, God will give you grace to do what you need to do today. But people are impatient. People are impatient. They want everything solved just like that. In my life, I've got this problem in my life. God, take it away, heal it, deal with it. I want it solved. No, you have to have direction, and then you have to take it a step at a time. You need patience. You need patience, and that's exactly what he's saying here. Look at verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, you'll become, by being patient, you'll become a more mature Christian. You'll be more valuable in the church. You'll be more valuable in God's work. Because what God is looking for are strong, mature Christians. You know, it takes, you can grow a squash overnight, but it takes years to grow an oak tree. Amen? And so God wants those oak tree type Christians in the church. Thank God we've got more oak tree type Christians, more fruit tree type Christians. Are you going to be one of those? So how do you overcome when you're in over your head? Put it in the asset column rather than the liability column that he's letting you go through this. And be patient in serving God no matter what may come your way. And God will help you to overcome. And you will overcome. I guarantee you, based on the Word of God, you will overcome. There's a third thing that you're going to need in order to overcome when you're overwhelmed. And read with me verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, Don't look at this when you're going through this thing as God is out to get you. God is out to put you down, or he hates you, or he doesn't care for you. No, God wants you to go to him. He wants you to go to him to get wisdom so that he can show you what he wants you to do. In fact, he says, I am a liberal. Did you know God's a liberal? You know what that means here? God is a liberal. That means God is generous. He is very generous. Now, the liberals today, the political liberals, they're generous as long as it's with other people's money, as we're finding out, right, from Elon Musk, and they don't like it that he's looking into that, because they're not generous. They're generous with other people's money, your money and my money. But no, God is generous. And he's very liberal and very generous with you. And he does not rebuke you. He does not think you're out of line when you're going to God and you say, God, I'm in this trial. I don't know what to do. Give me wisdom. And sometimes people are so busy telling people what to do, they don't help them pray. They don't help them pray. They don't encourage them to pray. I thank God for people that encourage my faith. I thank God for people that hold up your hands and pray. And that's what we need. We need wisdom from God. And God says, I understand that. When you're going through these kinds of times where you're overwhelmed, you're way in over your head, I understand that you need wisdom, and I'll give you that wisdom. And, you know, you say, well, Lord, are you doing this because you're testing my faith? Perhaps you want me to go to a higher level, and perhaps you want to develop more patience in me and more maturity in me. Is that what you're doing in this trial? Is that why you're allowing me to go through this, Lord? Or perhaps, you know, I'm being chastened. Perhaps there's something you don't like in my life and you're chastening me. You know what? You go to God, he'll let you know. He'll make it clear to you if you say, you show me, God, I need wisdom in my life. God will give you that wisdom. And this is in the context of you being overwhelmed by trouble in your life. And he wants you to have wisdom. Why? Because he wants you to be able to persevere in serving God no matter what. He wants you to put that in the asset column and have a joy in the fact that God is going to work this out for good in your life and the life of those that are going through this thing. And one more thing it says here, and that is how to overcome when you are in over your head, and it is stay single-minded. Stay single-minded. And look at verse 6. I'll read it. You follow. It says, but let him ask in faith. Speaking of wisdom. Nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. You know what? To be single-minded means that you have your eyes on the invisible God. You have your eyes on the promises of God. You have your eyes upon the one who never changes, who is always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have your eyes there. But a person that is not single-minded, oh, they're looking to God one moment, the next moment they're looking at the problems. And then they're looking to God again, then they're looking at the problem. And they're back and forth. Can you think of anybody in the Bible that relates to that? I think of Peter. He's the prime example. Peter, you know, he got out of the boat in the storm. He said, oh, Lord, that's you walking on the water. Oh, that's great. You just tell me to come to you and I'll walk on the water. And the Lord said, come on, Peter, come on. And he got out of that boat and he's walking on top of the water just like the Lord. And he's doing great. And then all of a sudden he looks at the wind. Whew, wow, that's really blowing. He looks at the waves. And all of a sudden, he goes, oh, man, how am I going to stand in this? It's too much. And he starts sinking right down. You know what? He just shifted from looking at the Lord to looking at the wind and the waves. And that's how you are. When you get overwhelmed, you're looking at the wind and the waves rather than looking at God and trusting God. What does the Bible say? Thou wilt keep him in perfect. My mother quoted me this verse. My mother wanted to come tonight, but she was nauseated. Hope she's not throwing up on top of everything else. But she said, here's a verse. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. See, Peter didn't have his mind stayed on the Lord. And that's our problem. Faith is what we call existential. One moment we're believing, the next moment we're not believing. One moment we're looking to God, and one next moment we're not. You need to, if you're going to overcome when you're over your head, you need to be single-minded in your faith. I like what a great preacher said, Robert Ketchum. He said, never doubt in the dark what you know to be true in the light. Never doubt in the dark what you know to be true in the light. There's a Bible story that I think about right here when I think about staying on God and staying on the Word of God and trusting Him no matter what you're going through. And it's a Bible story in the Old Testament. And it's in 1 Kings chapter 20. And the Syrians were the enemies of Israel, God's people. And the Syrians went to attack God's people. And when they went to attack God's people, the Israelites were on top of the hills. They were on these high hills. And the Syrians marched up the hills and they said, like Little Round Top, you know, we're going to attack them in the hills. And so they marched up the hills and they attacked the Israelites. But God helped the Israelites and they defeated the Syrians. And so you know what the Syrians did? They said, okay, we see they have a God, Jehovah, and we perceive that Jehovah God is the God of the hills. But we're going to attack them in the valley. We're going to attack them in the valley. And their God isn't able to help them in the valley. He'll only help them in the hills. Well, here's what it says in 1 Kings 20, 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord. Because the Syrians have said, the Lord is a God of the hills. But he is not a God of the valleys. In other words, Hosea over here, he's not his God. He's a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. What's God saying here? I'm a God of the hills, and I'm a God of the valleys. These guys are crazy. I'm a God of the Gonzaleses and the Valleys and every Puerto Rican and everybody else. I'm a God of them all. I'm a God of the hills and I'm a God of the valleys, right? And so what you need to understand, if you're on a high place, if God is blessing you, he's doing great things in your life, well, praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. But wait a minute. Are you going through a valley? Are you in over your head? God is the God of that valley. And it's a lie to say that he's not. He is in that valley. He's with my wife in that valley. He's with my wife. She's in a dark valley right now. Pray for her. Pray for her. She's in that valley. She's going through that valley. I very rarely heard my wife cry of pain. And she is crying of pain. And she's going through it. But I want to tell you, God is the God of the valleys as well as the God of the hills. So I don't feel like it, but I'm going to put this in the asset column. I had hoped that I could go down there and be at my wife's memorial service for her sister and come back, and we could spend a few days together and have a nice husband and wife time and a way back, a little break from the ministry. But it ain't happening, friend. This ain't a vacation. This is not a vacation. This is a valley for her. And it's a hard time for her. And she's going through it. But listen, she's got God. She's got God, and he loves her. And he's the God of the hills, and he's the God of the valleys in your life as well. And so you can overcome. You can overcome even when you are over your head and you are overwhelmed. If you stay, listen to me, single-minded by faith, keep your faith focused on God. And look at verse 8 says, I'll conclude here. Verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What's a double-minded man? Well, one way you're looking at faith, and then next time you're looking at sight, and you're going back and forth between the two. No, you're not to go back and forth. You stay upon God and upon his word, and don't be double-minded. I remember when God showed me, you stay in this church. You strengthen the things that remain. And I determined at that time to bury myself in the work of God until God blasted me out. And you know what? I've been here 47 years, one day at a time, one day at a time. And he will see me through. If he'll see me through, he'll see you through the same way. Folks say, oh, Pastor, I'm waiting on God for a spouse. I'm waiting on God for a mate. Well, then do it. Wait on God. And stay in his will. Stay where he wants you to be. Marianne, where'd you find your spouse? Oh, it was in church here. I remember. Bruce started coming to church. God worked that out. I remember it all. I remember it all. And Bruce had to go through the gauntlet of her son and her pastor. And my wife and I still talk about that. Poor Bruce. I never saw a grown man cry like Bruce did that day. He had to face us. We were ready to kill the poor guy for caring for Marianne. But Chris Parker and I, it was something. But I'm just saying that you wait on God and He will. You're not going to miss anything in his will. You just stay in his will. And, you know, some people are fair weather fans. They root for their team, but then their team's having a bad year and they don't root for their team. My dad was like that. He'd root for the Lions, Brother Steve. They're having a bad year. He said, I'm rooting for New York Giants this year. He just changed. He's a character, my dad. But he did that. He just would do it. But listen to me. Sarge is going to stick with Oklahoma. Amen. Look at that. He's not going to change. He's there. You see it. Amen. I like it. I like that. But you know what? That's the way we ought to be with Jesus Christ. In season and out of season, we love the Lord. We're going to stick with the Lord. We're going to keep believing the Lord and be single-minded about it and serve God and stay with him. And so here's the message. You're going to be overwhelmed sometime. You're going to be in over your head. That's all right. God does that. How to overcome when you're in over your head? Number one, put those problems that are just overwhelming you, mark them in the asset column. Not the liability. Say, this is an asset from God by faith. Put it in there. Number two, persevere in serving God. Patiently stay with God and keep serving God and doing what God wants you to do when you're going through these things. Keep doing it. I remember the worst year of my life, and I went soul winning every day that year. Just stay with God. Persevere. Number three, get wisdom from God. Not just the facts of the Bible, but how do I relate these to my life? What do I do during, how do I respond? What are you doing in my life? God says, I'm liberal with you. I'll show you. Get wisdom from God when you're going through these things. And number four, stay single-minded. Stay single-minded. Do not go back and forth. Be steady, single-minded with God. Oh, I want to be that way. Amen. And you should be that way. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Amen and amen. We've been talking about being single-minded.